The port of Anchorage is literally coming apart, threatening to upend the state's essential supply chain in what officials have called a slow-motion disaster. Every year, millions are spent just combating the rapid corrosion of the port's basic infrastructure. But without hundreds of millions for major rehabilitation work approved by lawmakers, the nexus point for much of the state's fuel, food, and building supplies is at risk. Alaska Public Media's Zechariah Hughes has part two in our series about the port.
At the very bottom of low tide in Cook Inlet, a small group of representatives from a shipping company, the port, and the mayor's office climb into a little boat. They've come for an up-close look at the latest damage to the steel beams propping up the port. And beneath the docks, there is a forest of thick, brown steel tubes called pilings.
This one, for whatever reason, is corroding as fast as the older ones, even though it's a new structure, still along the same lines.
Lon Elledge is the program manager for CH2M in Alaska, the private company overseeing the port's modernization project. And he's giving an early season tour of just how dire the situation is for the pilings, upon which basically the whole port rests.
Can you put us up on that pile?
Elledge gets the boat driver to ease us up next to a piling covered in what looks like slimy orange mud. And he tells me to go ahead and touch it.
Right there.
Wow, so what exactly
is
this?
It's a combination of the rust and the corrosion that's going on.
Wow, I can almost like push it off.
As I'm using my finger to scrape away the rotten steel, Mayor Ethan Berkowitz puts a little bit of it on his tongue.
Did you just taste it?
Yeah.
What did it taste like?
Metal, salt.
The sludge, as Berkowitz points out, is organic. But this corrosive process is wearing down the 1,400 or so metal pilings that facilitate an enormous share of the state's economy and commerce. Elledge says that's because of environmental factors that drag ice and sediment across the pilings like a tidal saw, all the way down to the mudline, where the corrosion is worst.
I don't have the technical term with me, but it is almost like a film that gets on a pile. And then as it washes off, or as the ice takes it off, it exposes fresh pile, and it comes back.
The pilings are invisible to most of us, hidden by tides and obscured by the docks overhead. For all the millions of dollars spent so far on fancy project names like port expansion or modernization, we don't actually get to see what that money buys. And keeping the pilings whole is shockingly expensive.
$3 million a year, and that's for piles that are exposed that they can get to.
Each year, the port spends $3 million applying Band-Aids. They even look like Band-Aids, metal sleeves that get wrapped around the corroded base of each piling. Workers can do almost 100 a season. The sleeves have no structural benefit at all. They simply slow the pace of corrosion. And after 10 to 20 years, Elledge says, the water eats away the sleeves, too.
Is this a normal problem that a lot of ports that are this age have to deal with?
No. No, this is specific to here. I've worked other ports, and they have corrosion issues, but it's pretty benign compared to this.
In 10 years, when the sleeves start failing, the port expects they'll have to begin taking less weight as ships unload. Currently, taxpayers in Anchorage spend $5 million a year just maintaining what the administration has called marginally adequate operations. And there are already infrastructure problems clogging business operations for the companies that move around 1.5 million tons of cargo into the port every year. Among them is Tote Maritime, which brings in two ships a week to unload everything from groceries to heavy equipment. As our little boat chugs towards Terminal 3, where Tote docks, Vice President Grace Green points towards a dredge that's scraping mud off the seafloor. It's early in the year for dredging to start, but Green says partly because of the recent warm winters, more silt is piling up, making it harder for the company's ships to dock.
There have been several times over the past three winters where we've had to change our operation, either leave early or get creative with ballast on the ship to be able to stay at the dock.
Tote's operations will likely become more efficient if port infrastructure is modernized. But a bigger concern to Green is what'll happen if nothing is done and the much costlier problems that'll create for everyone later on.
The port is basic infrastructure for our state, and if we can't focus on making sure our basic infrastructure is good and sustainable, then that's going to be a problem down the road for all of us.
Green has visited Juneau to lobby lawmakers for finding a strategy to pay for the modernization project. The administration has requested a $290 million bond go before voters on the statewide ballot in November. That would pay for phase two of the project, replacing the terminals used by the shipping companies, Tote and Matson, just down the dock. The new terminals would be built further out into the water at a deeper depth and supported with beefed up pilings designed to survive for decades, which Elledge, engineer in charge of the project, says is essential.
The question was asked, what do we need to do to keep cargo moving across the docks to port for the next 75 years? And the answer is phase one and phase two.
So if the solution is clear, then what's holding up the money? Politics, which we'll hear about in the last part of this series. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
If you're curious about what those pilings look like, a video tour is at our website, alaskapublic.org.